Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my friend. Thank you for your patience. And welcome to your viewing of the recording of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour tonight, in which I will be covering a topic, and then after I cover the topic of this evening, I'll be answering any and all your questions, folks, at no extra charge, and I would like to help as many of you as possible on these calls. So please do take advantage of the Freedom Hour and ask your questions. Be ready to ask them after the recording is done. Having said that, if everybody back the guys, you want to take your seats and be quiet, gentlemen, we can go ahead and get started. And the topic, of course, is why the IRS will implode even with 87,000 new employees. Part two. Yes, I do want my book, guys. And where do we put it? Anybody, can someone get it for me, please, gentlemen? Thinking Maverick puts it away. And then forget to put it back on. Someplace out here. If not, that's okay. I'm going to read these ones. That's good, too. All right, there we go. Thank you. All right. I just got to remind him about that. He doesn't know about this issue. I got to let him know. So we'll be good. Okay. You put air on, guys. Start air again, please, guys. Thank you. Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Mutahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this part two, I will be covering why the IRS will implode, even with 87,000 new agents. IRS is a lot to hire in the next 10 years. So part one, I covered many things, but the topic is so long that it really had to be broken into different presentation. So in this part two, I'm going to be going over things in more detail, and you're going to see I'm going to be relying in large part to government's own official paperwork, like this government accounting office audit, which you'll be seeing in a little bit. You will also be seeing this United States Treasury report, okay, which was in May of 2021. The other one was May 2022. So with these two folks, main sources, you're going to find a lot of interesting stuff about IRS's weaknesses. So let's go to our website at livefreenow.org, because that's where you find the answers that you are looking for, folks. All there at livefreenow.org, where you can stop voluntarily supporting the Washington, D.C. swamp and take the seven steps to live free now of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. And when you go down to step three, now this is what I'm going to be talking about more this evening. And that is that you need to realize in step three that IRS is mostly bluff, okay? Understand that, here we go, let me go. It is a myth that IRS is the most government agency that will quickly and take your paycheck if you do not pay income tax. So this cartoon I have on this page here really exemplifies the IRS myth very nicely. So, but since it's only a cartoon, some of you want to have more facts behind this. This presentation is going to get to those facts now. Here we are, as I mentioned to you, the U.S. Department of Treasury American Families Plan Tax Compliance Agenda, which they came out in May 2021. And again, as usual, you're going to see this all the time. They complain about the IRS's outdated computer systems, okay? So what they're complaining here on this page, okay, I got these pages all lined up for you, okay? That the IRS still relies on individual and business systems that date back to the 1960s, the oldest in this federal government. The result is decades upon decades of tax administration built upon a system that is written in a programming language that is no longer taught, and where new functions are added in a patchwork rather than integrated manner. Yep, see, this is a mess. Patchwork, like Band-Aid on top of Band-Aid. And so you see now on the next page, they compare this situation. You'll see it coming up how bad it is. So again, they complain that the IRS's core tax processing system for over 150 million individual tax returns and 1.2 trillion in annual revenue known as individual master file is written programming languages that date back more than half a century ago, making IMF among the oldest IT systems in the federal government. Designed in 1962, folks. Yes, I like that. Happy birthday, IRS computer IMF. You're old as me. I'm 60 years old, and so are you. See? And folks, the IMF is one of the highest risk systems in the federal government. Major weakness, the IRS's ability to administer and collect tax. Yep. And the system for processing business tax returns is similarly antiquated, incredibly outdated. So this is the example to give what it's like, how bad this system is. As a national taxpayer advocate warned by an IRS has erected a 50-story office building on top of a creaky 60-year-old foundation, and it is adding a few more floors each year. There are inherent limitations on the functionality of a 60-year-old infrastructure, and at some point, the entire edifice is likely to collapse. Yep, the entire edifice is likely to collapse. Folks, that's not me. National Taxpayer Advocate saying that, okay? Now, here's other interesting stuff. If you're going to find more interesting stuff, I'm going to tidbit. I'm a facts guy. So I hope with these information I give you, you get a better feel, understanding how you are much more powerful than you believed before. An IRS is far weaker than you ever imagined. Okay. So they say that higher income taxpayers have sophisticated accountants and tax preparers who take out aggressive tax positions that include tax liability. And because the IRS lacks the number of specialized auditors needed to adequately detect and pursue these instances of noncompliance, the consequences of tax underpayment are perceived to be minor and voluntary compliance rates are lower. Yes, they don't have enough number of specialized auditors. See, and you don't have to voluntarily give your enemies in D.C. any money. People realize, you know what? This thing, these guys are not so powerful. After all, you know, that's the message for you guys. You guys got to get that. That's, you know, what you're going to get out of this. Now, it's continued that the IRS agents cannot simply be signed to global high wealth partnership or large and complex business examinations without the requisite skills, training, and experience to analyze returns that are highly complex. Yep. You see, large corporations, the average number of pages per tax filing for tax return, folks, has risen from slightly under 4,000 to nearly 6,000 pages since 2012. Can you imagine, folks? A regular income tax return for people is what, 2 pages? For these corporations, it's about 6,000. Oh, my gosh. You know how wide 6,000 pages is? Well, I think 6,000 pages is roughly about this wide. That's just the numbers in there. They don't have enough trained, experienced people to focus on those guys. We should got to get the guts out of those guys. These corporations have an extremely high rate of audit, like over 50%. Google's, Facebook pages, folks, tax returns, they get audited every year, basically. Yeah. So I want to give credit to this article by Forbes, okay, that gave me some of these links. What the IRS 2021 data book says about tax administration, which came out June 2nd, 2022. Okay. So here, this is where I found quite interesting. IRS's audit rates are incredibly low. Yep, that's right. It says taxpayers with incomes over $10 million per year, folks, in 2019, $10 million, an audit rate of 8.7% as of May 1st, 2022, according to the IRS. Yep, that's the highest audit rate for all income groups by far. Folks, that how many people make over $10 million? Okay, those guys would be audited more, but even them, they cannot audit on a regular basis. If that's low for them. The other rates range from 0.2 for returns with a positive income of between 25 to 500,000 to 2% for returns between 5 million and 10 million. So folks, look at this. If you make between 25,000 to 500,000, which is vast majority of Americans, vast majority, audit rate is only 0.02%. That's one out of 500 people. If you make between 25, maybe basically half million or less, chance of IRS auditing you is less than 1 in 500. 499 you would not get even looked at all. That's even, a lot of it is automated, computer-generated nonsense audit, not invasive personal visits, okay? Not those. So let's go to this Government Accounting Office May 2022 report called Tax Compliance, Trends of IRS Audit Rates, and Results for Individual Taxpayers by Income. A lot of good stuff I found here, okay? Here's what it says, for example, on this page. IRS officials said that they expect to support about 1,200 full-time equivalents this fiscal year, right, 2022, a level nearly identical to the staffing level in 1973, almost 50 years ago. 50 years ago, folks, IRS had the same number of employees now, except the employees IRS back then were much higher quality. You'll get a kick out of this later on. Hang in there, okay? Let's go to this. Revenue to audit costs. Folks, auditing is expensive for the IRS. It's not very efficient for them. See, between 2016 and 2020, IRS estimated revenues collected from audits was about 2 to 4 times greater than the budgeted cost of those audits. Which means what? Which means when the IRS spends $1 on audit, they get $2, $3, or $4 at the most. Yes, that's not very efficient, folks. That's a lot of work. Whereas IRS spends, you know, maybe about 3 cents, you know, for every $100 they collect without all the auditing, everything else. Auditing is very expensive. they cannot just audit you forever, audit more and more people. And attrition is hurting the IRS. Auditors have high attrition rates, leaving their job. And the IRS estimates that 15% of current auditors will retire in the next 3 years. Yep, that's right. So as a result, check this out. Therefore, IRS has needed to more frequently transfer audit cases to new auditors who need to spend more hours reviewing the work already performed. The work has been done already, and they have to go somebody new figure out what the other guy did, make sense of it, and do this case. Well, it's not a case of a corporation I'm helping. And the IRS Appeals Office in tax court said, hey, I'm going to send this case back to the guy who worked the case. I said, well, we didn't work this case back then. I have no idea what's going on, right? So he would try to pin it on me. I said, I don't know who did the other stuff. There's no problem. I'll give it to those guys. They will contact you, and you deal with them. Well, folks, I don't expect anybody from the IRS to contact me at least in 3 or 6 months, even though some of them, the IRS tells them to contact me. Because that person's probably not there. They have to review the old files. If they can find them, okay, it just takes in years of delay that hurts the IRS, okay, as you will see, I will see shortly. Okay? You see, this is open audits, percent of open audits. Open audit is an audit that is not finished, that is ongoing, so it's taking longer, dragging on. I have a tax court case myself, okay? 2006, right? That's 21 years ago, and 2001 and 2006 is 16 years ago. That case is still not finished, it's in right now Court of Appeal. After 15 years of the newest year, still not done. So that's an extreme example of how things get dragged on. The IRS just they cannot afford to have things go on for long. It slows them down, and they crash. You see, back in 2000, you see the all open audits that were not finished were near zero, 5% or lower. The thick gray line is people making over $10 million a year. Okay, lower income ones or the other ones. Look at that. What happened after 2017 and 18 especially? Whoa, a jump happened. All these are taking much longer. In fact, at every level of income, audit rates are 50 or 60% or more. From 5% or less to 50, 60% or more, or up to over 90%. These are on hold, folks. And let me tell you something. Look at the chart. The corona hoax started in 2019. So this audit dysfunction was going on even before the corona hoax in 2019. When 2019 corona hoax forced the IRS to lock down, social distancing, half the people show up so that you got to be at least 6 feet apart so we don't die of corona, right? And they try to do stagger the shifts. They can only do so much of that because no one likes to come work at graveyard shifts, right? And if somebody is sick, they don't come to work. Boss, I've still got a sore throat. Oh, don't come in. Stay home. Okay, I'll stay home, boss. Click. Oh, man, that was good. I got another week. We can go vacation, have a good time, guys. Let's go play some cards, right? The IRS employees have all the excuse to stay as long as they want home and don't work and do nothing. IRS offices become ghost towns. And all that 2 years plus, two and a half years of these lockdowns have IRS a huge backlog, who knows how many years, not months, years, it'll take them to get out of that. Okay? So this is a real problem for the IRS getting out of this. And at the same time, look at this, Internal Revenue Service auditing staffing has gone down. The auditors they have, see, they got revenue agents and tax examiners. Okay? And there used to be 2011 about 24,000 people. 24,000. 2020, look at that number. It's about, what, 68,500. They lost over 10,000 people, over 30% decrease, one-third decrease in their staffing. Less auditors. They got less auditors, one-third less, with a huge backlog. And the most intelligent ones, experienced ones, they're the ones leaving. Remember, IRS has right now 50+% of its employees are eligible for retirement right now. They retire or get paid part-time, full-time job in some big corporation and collect a pension at the same time from the IRS. See? So, and see this about tax examiners, okay, and revenue agents. Basically, examiners do the minor audits, okay, automated or limited stuff. Revenue agents, they're the ones that do the more complex ones. Okay? The revenue agents are the top blue line. There's less of them. Okay? So, here we go. Where was I at? Okay, here we go. That's it. Okay. So IRS estimates about 15% of current tax examiners and revenue agents will retire in the next 3 years. Folks, that's a lot with the population increase, okay? And the IRS projects that about 16% of earned revenue agents, 1,300 out of 8,400, and about 14% of current tax examiners, 1,800 out of 12,000, will retire in the next 3 years. So let's face it, folks, if you do the numbers, the number of IRS revenue agents, okay, will be down to about 8,400 to 7,000. And tax examiners will go down to 11,000, so about 18,000. Folks, this is IRS hurting and continue to hurt. Now, audit. Anybody wants to know about the famous audit? Oh, IRS will audit me. You're afraid of that, right? You don't need to be afraid of the IRS auditing you, okay? Taxpayers with income up $200,000 and above have had the largest audit rate reduction from 2010 to 2019. Folks, audit rates have gone down for everybody in every category, okay? However, for those over $200,000, it went from in 2010 from 0.09%, less than 1%, in 2018 to 0.25%, 1 out of 400. Used to be 1 out of 100, it's 1 out of 400 people. Yes, that's a 400% drop in the last 10 years, 4-time drop, okay? And here's additional table and graphs, okay, audit rates. Again, you see the graphs now. The big one, the thick gray one, that's where people are making over $5 million. The second one, the thin green one, is people making $5 to $10 million, okay? Now, and then the other ones, you see the next one, you see the thick blue one, that's someone making over $1 million to $5 million. Folks, wait, 99.99% of you are not in these categories at all. You're the lower rates, but even the high-income people making millions, folks, ours cannot even handle and audit those guys. Let's go to the average person, folks. You see, the numbers are really low. By the way, the dotted red line is earned income tax credit. What you guys don't know is this. IRS, okay, gets about 26,000 tax returns of low-income people, mostly young families with children. When they file a tax return, they get money back. Yes. If he works at Walmart or McDonald's, maybe 30 hours a week, get married with a couple, 2, 3, 4 kids, they actually get money back. And there's a lot of errors made on these taxes. Complex and not simple, because the IRS is giving money back, and there's a high rate of error, mistakes. IRS spends significant amount of its resources to make sure IRS is not giving money to people by mistake. Those people have a very high audit rate. Okay? In fact, those people have about the same audit rate as people who make over $1 million to $5 million. Okay? Now let's go to this GAO account, the bottom line. Here is the beautiful chart. Audit rate by total positive income for year 2019. Okay? If you make under $40,000, it's high because that's earned income tax credit, people. But look at the second bar, the bottom left. $25,000 is 0.17. That's less than 1 in 500. You make $200,000 to $500,000, still 0.17. That's less than 1% out of 500. Now, you make over $500,000. Okay, now you get to half of 1%, 1 out of 200. You get to people making $1 million or more, you get to 1%. 5 million or more, over 2%, about 1 out of 50. And you see on the right side, earned income credit, that's for poor young people with children typically that get money back. That's why they have such a high rate of audit. That's why people making less than $25,000 have a high audit rate, almost the same as those making about $500,000. Now, this is a chart from the IRS's this report about the different rates, different income rates. I'm leaving it up here for just a few seconds. Those of you who want to look at it, go review and pause the video. You can check out these numbers for details for yourself if you want the different income categories. I'm going to go now to the IRS data book. Came out covers October 2020 to September 30th, 2021. And you know what's interesting? It's about the number of non-filers to come after. Remember, I covered this many times that back in 1996, IRS estimated there was, at that time, 63 million non-filers. People who didn't file and to IRS appeal appear to have a requirement to file based on information available to the IRS's individual master file computer system. Well, that number is probably over 8 million now, because 26 years is more people in America's system. Well, how many of those 80 million non-filers did the IRS come after? Here's a number buried deep in this report. Okay, here it is, folks. It's called, they call this Automated Substitute for Return Program. What is this? Okay, that means people that have not filed, IRS does their trick on computers to create a phony tax return for you and put it on there that you filed a return showing you had zero income. And you didn't report more income than you should have reported based upon your W-2 form or 1099 form, or somebody by error also sent it back to the IRS or whatever else method they got, right? Look at this. The number to look for, folks, is these actual closures. Actual closures, 128,671. That's the number of cases actually IRS came after them with the notice of deficiency tax proposal. You see, that is the number to look at. That's the bottom line. IRS came after only 130,000. And the footnote here, okay, the 8 is the one that addresses this issue. If you want to pause and look at it, you can do that, okay? And it says, actual notice closures are cases for which notices were issued to taxpayers and were assessed and were associated with staff hours used to calculate the number of full-time positions. That means notices you thought about were issued. That's a notice of deficiency issued, official tax proposal letter. Yes, only less than 130,000 out of 80 million people. Folks, that is pathetic. That means that 79,900,000 non-fathers were not assessed by the IRS. I'm telling you, folks, you don't need to be afraid of the IRS, okay? They don't come after non-fathers. They come after filers or more. Folks, that's a lot less than filers, okay? And but the collection is another game on top of that, because IRS is sending cases to toothless collection agencies or leaving you alone altogether. Oh, that's another story. Now, let's go to some other interesting fun stuff, okay? Oh, this is the fun stuff, okay? I promise you, IRS is the most politically correct woke organization out there. LGBTQ plus, IRS is your organization. They do not hire people based upon competence, based upon how well you come after people, audit them, or collect, or harass. No, fill-in positions. Under 80,000 people, right? About 75, the report says, don't even know themselves. About 74 or 5,000 full-time equivalents, right? Let's see what they say. So this report says, you know, equivalent to full-time people, right? By gender, race, ethnicity, disability, and veteran status. Fiscal year 2021, okay? You have the IRS numbers, and you have chief counsel, IRS lawyers number. So, first of all, IRS has a total of 79,000 and change number of employees, about 2,100 lawyers, okay? So altogether, 81,000 plus employees. Now, here's the interesting part, okay? IRS male versus female. You know that, and here's the percentages, by the way, okay? The percentage of these people. 35% are males, 65% females. So roughly, folks, did you know IRS is roughly 2-to-1 women to one man? Yes, they got our women coming after us. Yes, men are generally the workers, mothers, you have to raise, nurse a child, spend time with the children, especially the smallest toddlers and babies, right? But no, with the IRS, the men are at home, and the women are doing the work, right? Now, there's more to it. Look at this, folks. How about, let's say, for example, blacks. You know, they make all this stuff about, you know, blacks are oppressed in America, right? So they're trying to fix the black issue and give blacks jobs. There's 23,000 black people at the IRS, right? And so about 29% of them are black, okay, as opposed to the white people are about 48%, 49%. See, there's only 10% more of whites versus blacks. Fine. But here's the interesting part that caught my attention. Male black versus female black. Male blacks are only 6.4% of the IRS, but the female blacks are 22.5%. Whoa. That jumped at me, that black females are almost 1 out of 4 IRS employees. Look at that, folks. Yeah, IRS 1 out of 4 black women, you know, who are coming after you guys, right? Now they have, of course, Hispanics, you know, they have the same kind of ratios. They have more women, you know, than men, double Hispanic women versus males. You know, with Asian and Native Hawaiians, American Indians, it's not as different, okay? However, if you have 2 or more races, there's 4 times more females than males, okay? That's on top of that. But here's the interesting part here. Look at this, folks. Veterans and veterans with disability. Yeah. IRS has about 10% veterans, okay? Fine, folks. I've nothing wrong with veterans, okay? They're good people. But whenever you make any kind of a quota about anything just because you used to be a preacher or salesman or basket weaver, you know, or you were a bodybuilder, whatever occupation it is, it's just not a good idea as far as the organization's competency goes to say we're going to get more of these bodybuilders or movie actors. You know, you want to get everybody based upon competence, right? That's not what they do. So anyhow, the veterans is not a problem, about 10%. But look at this. Veteran with a disability, okay, 4.9%. And look at this. Person with disability and person with a other disability is 3.4%. Now, I thought, wait a minute. I'm fine if the disabled people give jobs, but what is this? Targeted disability. So I went down this footnote 6 on that, and check this out, folks. There's footnote 6, okay? It says the term targeted disability was originally enacted by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in 1979 and refers to certain disabilities that have been identified for emphasis in the federal affirmative employment planning. Okay. So it's identified for emphasis. Okay. However, look at this, folks. During 2017, the Office of Personnel Management expanded the list of medical conditions to the new category added, folks. Watch this. The new category is self-identity, a disability. Oh, see that, folks? Self-identity is a disability now. So that means people that say, a man that says, I identify as a woman says, I identify as a man, you're disabled. I told you, folks, the hiring LGBTQ plus woke, I mean, the more you're away from a straight white male, like the founding fathers, the better for the IRS. And your employee is a black female former lesbian who now identifies as a man and is on a wheelchair. That's what they're hiring because they meet all of these racial, ethnic, gender quotas. The bottom line of all this is what? They are not hiring people based upon competence. How well do their job to get more money from you? They are there filling the positions, people who don't do nothing. Folks, people in government are not like you. They sit around, they get long coffee breaks doing nothing. Let me give you guys one example. My own brother, you know, after many years of unsuccessful jobs in the electronic engineering field, he finally got a job with a government agency in the South, okay? And said, Damon, I'm bored. He would call me on a regular basis. I'm bored. You know, we're not doing anything. He would, you know, and I said, well, stay on. You got a stable job for right now. Save some money. Eventually quit. But before he quit, I asked him one time, hey, how many people do you have in your department? And how many can get the job done? He said, Paymon, in our department we have 10 people, and this 10-people job will be done by only more than half the people are there, are not doing anything, they're just collecting a check. The government is inefficient. These government workers are under no pressure whatsoever to work hard. The lawmakers, Congress, gives them money anyhow. Oof, here's some money. There you go. Man's virus says, great, let's go party. The management, are they going to get fired by the congressman? No. We need you. We have secure jobs. The management. You don't want to mess with the middle management or lower employees. Why? We need you. If we get rid of you, it'll be worse. We have to hire somebody else, even less competent than you. At least you have some experience. You know something? You know it's nearly impossible to fire someone at the federal government? Yes. You know, in the 60s, John F. Kennedy made a deal with the federal government unions to get the backing up, and that it'd be the deal that he was became extremely hard to fire federal workers. There has to be a federal case, literally, and someone defending that employee from being fired by another government worker from another agency to defend that guy. It takes years to fire the most incompetent, alcoholic, drug-infested, lazy employee that they want to get rid of. All the dead wood simply stays. All these people out there are not doing much. Just cracking a page. See? You don't need to be afraid of these guys, folks. Bottom line is, it's right in front of you. Here is the truth. This is the true face of the IRS. 1962, okay, COBOL assembly language, which is not taught, okay, any, you know, out there, there hardly have any people left. You got these old people about to retire. They don't like the job. They hate the job. By the way, another report I put out, but you know the satisfaction rate of the IRS government jobs? Do you know how many percentage of government workers, IRS, would recommend the job to somebody else? Less than 1%. 99% would not work for the government or IRS. Again, they would not recommend it. They're so unhappy, folks. So they don't like it, folks. I feel bad for these people. Really, honestly, I really do. You know, they're stuck there. They got backlog of paperwork, put you on hold. You know, they all go on your belief system that deceived you, along with the corrupt mainstream media. IRS is the great and powerful. All your taxes or else. Okay? And here's yours truly, Fear Moscow, at the bottom, the photo of the dog. Letting you guys know, folks, don't be afraid. Don't need to be afraid. You are free. You didn't know that. That's why Fear Moscow, folks, feed the Restore Freedom Plan. Okay? This is a true picture of the IRS. It's a myth of this IRS Padilla. See, you see over there? That's what the IRS really is. And so, folks, you want to join the Restore Freedom Plan, lawfully stop filing an income tax with our Restore Freedom Plan. Yep. And Freedom Law School will keep the IRS levying your money with our 7-year guarantee every year that you are a member. That's right. Every year gets a separate 7-year guarantee. I am not paying income taxes that legally, based on U.S. government's official website, you can drain the swamp. Stop financially supporting your deep state enemies. And restore freedom and prosperity for you, your family, and America. Yep, folks. We need to restore this. This is our vision, folks. Restore freedom like it was done. Founding Fathers of America 200 plus years ago. And folks, you join and spread the word. You have an opportunity to spread the word and get paid for each American. You're free with our Freedom Opportunity Plan. Is you. Every one of you is a new Paul Revere. Freedom Law School is your horse. Right on the Restore Freedom Plan on top of Freedom Law School. We'll take you there. You got to open up. Talk to your friends. Talk to families in America. Okay? Tell the American people the truth that they've been deceived. Our government, U.S. government is corrupt and criminal and hurting you. And they got to get out and take our country back. Okay? With the law, the truth is on our side. The light you shed on them is our website. Okay? Freedom Law School's website and the front page. But tell them that they can stop voluntarily supporting the Washington, D.C. swamp. And they can take these 7 steps to live free now of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. And have them do step 1 first. arm themselves with the law based on U.S. government's official legal websites. No law requires 99% of Americans to take income tax by your This short 10-minute video will be the start. All you got to do, folks, is just tell them. Show them, give them the light, like Paul Revere. Let them see the truth. Share our website and all your social media platforms. Right? Email it to your friend. Text it to your friend. And encourage them to check it out while they're driving to and from work. They're all stuck in the car. You know that. Going to and from work. Okay? And follow up. Did you think of that 10-minute video? Oh, I didn't see it. Fine. On your way back home, listen to it. And then during dinner, put your smartphone up and watch. Folks, I would love for America to be a live and let live. Love and let love. Free, prosperous country once again. I want every one of you to be able to live free and live your life in the way you dreamt and imagined your life to be, by not being robbed, slaves, and now being hurt by the criminals in D.C. who have hurt and murdered hundreds of thousands of Americans with a corn hook stab, and hundreds of thousands more have been disabled and severely injured by the corn hook stab. That's right, folks. They're killing you now. And I want you to suffer. I really would love for you to live your life the way you dream in comfort, peace, health, and harmony with your loved one. But I cannot do it for you. That choice has got to be made by you. You are in total control. You have the total power. Not me, not the IRS, nobody out there but you. So I want you to recognize that this video you saw was not an act. You were meant to come across this video and start your journey. Go to our website, livefreenow.org, and continue your journey to freedom. Yeah. Okay. All right, we got some questions, some callers. All right, and I'm thinking about doing a short video on the topic, folks. Maybe I should do a short one, huh? Yeah, I think I'm going to do a really short one so that, let's see. For those of you who may be on with us, we're going to wait a little bit, let the technical issues be worked out. If there's any, I'm going to come back with a short recording now in a minute. So folks, by the way, I'm going to, the call number is important for you all to know. If you have a question, you can call in. I'll give the number out to you guys. And the number to call is, let's see, 657. What's the number we got to put on the screen, guys? Let's see. Let me give the number for you guys. Oh, here we go. The call number is 657-383-1755. 657-383-1755. And then push 1 on your telephone keypad. That will let us know you have a question. And that will answer your questions one at a time. The number is also on the screen again, 657-383-1755. So are the technical issues fixed, guys? Can we start, or should I wait a little bit longer, gentlemen? Can someone put on an air also, by the way, gentlemen, please? Oh, by the way, so while we're working on those issues, folks, let me make a couple of important announcements. Red Pill Expo, okay, is going to be going on November 12th through 13th, okay, in Salt Lake City. However, I'll be an exhibitor at the Freedom Law School, but afterwards, I'll be doing a half a day Restore Freedom Rally at no extra charge on Monday following this event that happens during the week. I urge you to come to the event, folks. Yes, you'll see all those great speakers they got lined up, 16 great speakers they got here, but you've been wanting to hear from. Most of them will be there in person. A couple maybe there by video. But at the end of all the speakers, they're going to have our link here pretty soon for the following day, November 14th. Yes, after November 12th and 13th weekend, November 14th, we'll do the Restore Freedom Rally on the morning of the day after Red Pill Expo. Also, January 20th weekend from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday half day. Friday night we start. On Monday afternoon will be Freedom Law School's Restore Freedom Rally in Orlando, Florida. That's our event. Yes, with 15 of the most fantastic speakers that you even want to see and hear and meet in person. If you cannot make it, fine. We will be doing it, streaming it live and recorded also will be available. However, you know, if you can make it, that's a great time to be in Florida. You leave your cold, freezing snow places up north, come down to Florida, Orlando, where the weather is beautiful, spring, and a gentle summer weather perhaps in Orlando. That's a great time to come down. We got a great hotel rate, so you can, you know, use that hotel rate to get more nights at that lower price rate. You can extend the vacation to come a couple 3 days before, and stay a couple 3 days after the event at that special price we got that Holiday Inn by the Orlando International Airport. So, I'm going to give you more details about that. The website should be up next Thursday when I have a free mail for you guys to check it out in more detail. All right, gentlemen, are we ready to go? The technical issues got solved, gentlemen. Is that correct? Okay, so maybe you can do just a recording. Do you guys should do questions or live stream, gentlemen? Which one do you think would be better to do? Should I do a short recording or should I do a question and answers first? Okay. Let's take your questions, folks. I got some questions that are people typed up about, but let me go to the questions that people may have on the blog, like Radio Who called in. Anybody who's called in with the questions? If so, please give me their telephone area code, and I'll put them on a list of people with questions to answer. We have anybody on the calls? Erica 310. Is that the only call we have right now?
Yes. Yes, I was on the call before, and I asked a question.
Hold on, my friend. Hold on. Erica 310, Erica 417. What other callers do we have? From where? No more. Okay. Call from Erica 310. Your first name. I heard about it. And then your question.
Okay. I'm sorry. Could you state that again?
Your first name only. How did you hear about Freedom Law School? And then your question, please.
Okay. My first name's Mike. I heard about Freedom Law School. I think I found you online through searching on YouTube, like that. But I guess YouTube's, you know, truth policies doesn't allow you to stay on YouTube now. my question is, I was just on the phone with a legal company that's helping me with my immigration. I called you before about this, and I am going to join your organization within the next, I think, month or 2 months. I got a 2-year green card. You know, I'm doing the fiancé visa, and they called me saying I need to get the 10-year I guess, I have to go through the next process. I'll tell you what happened. One second. So it's called, I guess this is a question for an attorney. So it's called removal of condition. So I have to file it. And I asked them, are they requiring for my joint tax return with my wife as part of a condition to approve this removal of condition, meaning for my wife to get the 10-year green card? And they said, yes, that is a requirement. And I said, well, I will not comply with the requirement. I'm going to need to give them something else to prove that I'm still with my wife. But I will not be doing the filing because I can be in liability for signing under penalty of perjury and then, giving whatever, person there the control over my life, right? So they gave me an attorney to speak with, an attorney firm, but my question is, if I join the organization, which I plan to do anyways, regardless of my immigration, is this something that the lawyers on your side can give a clear-cut answer to as far as my immigration situation and going forward in that, or what to do?
Well, I don't have lawyers working for Freedom Law School in-house because the lawyers in almost all the states are not allowed to work for a non-attorney. I'm not an attorney. So, and the thing is that I'm not sure what you mean about this 10-year visa thing, 10-year green card, because it's not necessary. Because it used to be, I came from Iran back in 1970s and 80s, that, after 5 years of having a green card, you could apply and become an American citizen like I did. So I've heard that now they dropped it to 3 years after having a green card. You can apply to become a U.S. citizen. So why would you want to need a 10-year green card when after 3 years you can simply apply to become a U.S. citizen?
Okay. That'd be perfect. So I don't even need to do it. I mean, my point I was making is with the company that called me is, have you ever had a client that did this? That was in my situation. They said that we have clients that do late tax filing, and I said, I won't do it. I'm in liability. I signed that under penalty of perjury. I'm giving my freedom away. So I told, that's what I told them. So that was the question. I guess I'll have to see just a separate attorney for this, right?
No need to spend on an attorney. There's no need to waste your money on an attorney. Attorneys are not cheap. Yeah, and not to mention a lot of them are incompetent to begin with, okay? We'll just get a green card for her. Why need a 10-year one? I don't understand. And for getting a green card, I think I mentioned that to you last time, that somebody else besides you could also sponsor her. Literally, you have a friend or relative be co-sponsor. I want to bring my own mother and sisters to the United States. Guess what? They told me someone else can be co-sponsored besides me because I did not have a tax return. Seriously.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so I can just get a sponsor.
Yeah, just get anybody to be a sponsor. It doesn't have to be you. And if anything, they're making all the rules easier to get a green card, okay, and become a U.S. citizen. Because remember, most immigrants, majority of them, do not know much about American civics. They do not know about they're gullible. They trust the American system and the media, so the majority are communist socialists because that's what the major media promotes. So they want for America to become a socialist country, more immigrants to come easier and easier. Don't worry about it. They want you to be a white citizen because if you go, hey, we got a great new, most likely communist socialist Democrat voter, give the communist permanently in power in America. So they're going to make it easy for you. Don't worry about it. Okay? So let it visas that are expired stay. They give you 2-year visa, 6-year, not 6-month visa, longer visas to stay over. Overstay your visa.
What they said is that what they told me is that if I just send my package and I don't include the joint tax, they will extend for another 2 years anyways, just for an extension. So I can keep extending; it's not a problem. But I'm just trying to get answers right now. That's all.
Just get someone else to financially sponsor besides you. That's all of it.
Okay,
I'm also
perfect.
Okay?
All right, perfect. Yeah, that's probably what the lawyer will say. They gave me a company. I paid $25 a month that will answer my questions. They have a connection. So it's not a lot of money. Just speak them until we get there, you know. Yeah. But anyways, do you have a referral program?
Yes, I covered that. You guys.
I would love to because I was on a conference call. I was on a conference call because I'm in the cryptocurrency community. I've been in it for 9 years, and I have big groups, and I speak sometime. And the number one thing everybody's always scared about is the taxes. So I got on the call in front of a lot of people, and I mentioned, like, listen, you know, you don't have to be afraid of the tax thing. Actually, you just need to know the law. And I did refer your company right on the live call. So I would love to keep speaking about your company and get a referral from that. That'd be great. You know?
Yep. You see it on my screen. As a step 7, when you join, you know, whether you're paying full or part, you can do that. In fact, what you want to do, you don't have to join in full. We give you scholarship discounts for people with lower incomes, number one. Number two, you can make a payment plan. And why you need a payment plan? Other people you refer, you still get paid 50% of what they pay for their membership. Someone pays, for example, you know, $9,000, you get $4,500. Someone pays $6,000, you get paid $3,000. You know, cash. So you can start referring people.
I would love it because I'm in the crypto community, and all I hear all the time is fear, 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 and you know, people are threatening like all the time, like, you know, you better pay your taxes. Uncle Sam's going to come after you. It's like, and I'm like, well, that's your opinion. So anyways, yeah, I'd love to. So I sign up with your freedom.
Show them the form from the IRS, the 1040 form. So look, it's a trick question, as they know. Let's see. I'm going to be right now in front of you. Here we go. IRS's website. Okay. The 1040 form, show them this. I have videos on this topic. Here's a 1040 form. Tell them, look, if you notice, on the new 1040 form, okay, they have on the first page a question that used to be in the back. Okay, here is the U.S. Individual Income Tax Return for 2021. The question is, at any time during 2021, did you receive, sell, exchange, or otherwise dispose of any financial interest in any virtual currency? You have to answer yes or no. Either way, you hurt yourself. If you say yes, you made yourself a target.
Yeah.
Which is some of the people who have virtual currency for download, audit, harassment, and collection by the IRS, because it's extremely complicated to calculate your gains when you sell cryptocurrency, buy this, exchange this one to this other currency, to that other one, and buy this one, and it's very complex to do those things right. You cannot do it right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say no, you lied under oath. You just committed a felony.
The whole cryptocurrency thing is a complete mess because they have no clue on the losses that are being made, and, you know, like, it's just crazy. But
exactly. So, yeah,
it's a mess.
Cryptocurrency for payment also, Baba, yes. So you can be doing great. Cryptocurrency payments are like made for each other.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. Anyway,
years ago,
great.
Okay? All right, my friend.
So
good.
So I'd love to join, and then I'll be referring. Once I join, I'll be referring through my group there. So,
let me give you an example. One guy said, "Hey, man, I'm going to join. I got this guy, other guy. I'm going to get paid 50%." I said, "Well, you got to join first." I said, "Okay." So he was a young guy, very young for us. He said 1,000, okay, and the other guy said 8,000 at the time. Membership was 8,000 for the first year, you know. So the applications came at the same time or a day apart. Anyhow, so he paid me 1,000, right? That was his membership. His commission on the other guy's 8,000 was 4,000. I said 4,000. Immediately he made 3,000.
You're
awesome, nothing.
Yeah, your referral is very generous, like extremely generous. So wow.
Hey, thank you. Because I want to give you all incentive to other people. You tell them, and when they tell other people, I'll give you at some point overrides also. So you get them to refer them. build this.
Yeah. No, this is, I love this because I'm passionate about this, so I'll definitely do it. Do I just build my own website? Is that what I do?
We'll help you with all that. So call us. We'll get you going. We give you on our website.
Okay.
We'll give you these pages where it's your page. They go there,
mm-hmm.
and then post to our website so we can keep track of the link that you gave. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy joins. We always ask, how did you hear about us? You notice I ask you, how did you hear about us? Why? Because at every turn, we keep track of who we want to reward and thank and pay for opening your mouth and sharing our information with other people. So we'll give that.
I'd love that. I'd love to learn as much as possible because I would do a call just with the group, a weekly call where they could call in and I would speak and just do my best to present. So I guess I'll join you soon and maybe you can help me with all that.
How many people are on the call?
What's
usually
that?
About? How many people you have?
Well, it's different. It's different groups. One group I'm joining right now. I'll tell you right now. I mean, a few hundred people, not much, but it's growing because the group that I'm going to be part of offers something people want in crypto, which is offshore bank account, part of a legitimate Asian bank in Laos, and they don't require any social security or any info. And a lot of people are going to be getting in the call, and they always ask, what about the tax? What if this bank in Laos sends my information to the – so everybody's afraid of that. So I want to address that. So I'm going to be one of the group, you know, leaders or part of an elite, you know, membership there, and I want to be able to get on and just address concerns for that. That'd be great.
Great.
Invite you, or I don't know how you want to, you know, partner with me on that. We'll see.
Sure. If your group is large enough, I can make some time to be on those. Call tomorrow at Talk to Maverick, okay, about this. Help you with that whole situation. Okay? Ask for Maverick.
Tomorrow and call and talk with Maverick, okay?
Yep. Tell him I ask you to record it. I ask you to call him about your crypto group. Maybe I might do a little short speech before that, perhaps.
Yeah, and thank you for spreading the word about socialism. My family actually came from the Soviet Union, and we came in the late 70s, and my dad told me all about it. He was working, he was the top engineer, and the Communist Party always asked him to join the Socialist Communist Party, and he rejected. He fought against it even while he was there in the Soviet Union. So, you know, people in America have no clue what socialism is. My family was waiting in lines just for a roll of toilet paper and bread back then. So they have no clue here, you know.
Exactly. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. You're welcome. All right. Let's go to our next call from area code 417, area code, your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yeah, this is Maria. I am a student of yours. I heard from you through Lori Hines from the founder.
Maria, if you are a student, you don't have to call out here. You get unlimited private consultation anyhow with Freedom Law School. But while you're here, ask if you want to know too. Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you directly is why. I'm just a scholarship. So anyways, question I had on, I'm looking on the, do I need to get an LLC if I am a member of Freedom of Law School, if I run an online business or not?
It's not necessary to do that, but you may want to do it. It would be a good thing for business planning, estate planning. That's why companies do that. It worked, you know, those entities work well for business.
Okay. I wasn't sure how that works. I want to eventually become a PMA, like the Renegade Nation 2, a member, but I wanted to do yours first. And I wanted to let you know I had asked for some brochures from you guys and, well, flyers or whatever anyways, and I handed some out, and I had a couple people, they're like, oh, no, they would rather go ahead and pay them extra. They don't want them coming out. And I'm like, why would you even be doing that? But anyways, I want to approach them more, you know, check it out. It's really worth it. I like what you guys are doing and stuff like that. But yeah.
Debunk fear. That's what it is. You know, give me a chance, go see your website and talk to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I that's why, and at least they make them aware of you, if that's what it, that's what
yeah.
I'm main thing. Okay, mm-hmm. So you said it's a good idea for right now, not worry about LLC or not.
You don't have to. You can. It's a good move, but not necessary. If you can join us on a scholarship, it tells me you don't have a lot of money, so you don't have to start with that right away. You know, so you can do it later on if you want.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I don't need to have it to be a member.
No, not at all. No requirement at all. You don't need to have a PMA or LLC or anything, although I generally like LLCs as the best form of doing business. I think limited liability companies have a lot of advantages over corporations are good too, you know, that. But I think that's one you probably should go. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. You have anybody else with a question on the live, on the Freedom Hour, guys? The Blog Talk Radio? Okay. Now, a question someone asked, that is about why offer only a 7-year guarantee, okay? Well, and what happens after 7 years? That's a legitimate question. The answer is on our website. I'll bring it to you right now so you can see it for yourself. Because that really is a better question you want to ask is on our website under education materials, under questions to ask your tax preparer. That's the fifth item down on the educational materials tab on our website. When you go there, you see this page. Questions to ask your income tax preparer. Okay. Now, whether it's you have a bookkeeper, accountant, CPA, enrolled agent, or tax attorney, ask them the following questions to help you decide whether you really want to pay them to prepare and file IRS Form 1040 and other IRS forms, which is often followed by forking over a significant amount of your money to the IRS. Okay? So you're asking these questions. That is it true that you want me to sign under penalty of perjury that everything on the IRS Form 1040 and other IRS income tax forms that you for me is true, correct, and complete? The answer, of course, has to be yes. Under penalties of perjury, the rope around your neck. Does penalty perjury mean that if anything on the 1040 form is not true, correct, and complete, I may end up in prison on criminal charges such as, well, let's see, attempt to evade or defeat tax evasion under Internal Revenue Code, Section 7201, sending me to prison for up to 5 years for each 1040 tax form that I sent to the IRS? The answer is yes. Also, for fraud and false statements under Internal Revenue Code, Section 7206, sending me to prison for up to 3 years for each 1040 tax form that I sent to the IRS? The answer again is how about fraudulent returns, statements, or other documents under Section 7207, sending me to prison for up to 1 year for each 1040 tax form that I send to the IRS? The answer again is yes. So, in summary, is it true that I could be convicted on all three of the above criminal charges, sending me to prison for up to 9 years for each 1040 tax form that you prepared for me, sign if in view of the IRS, that 1040 or other income tax form is not true, correct, and complete? The answer is yes. See, fact of the matter is that you are relying on him as the tax expert to completely understand your financial records and to apply all relevant Internal Revenue Code statutes, regulations, court cases which may apply to your tax situation, and use your knowledge to properly prepare the IRS Form 1040 and other tax forms for you, which you must sign under penalty of perjury. Therefore, you must ask him this question, folks. If the tax form you prepare for me, ask your accountant this, to sign under penalty of perjury or in any way found by the IRS to not be true, correct, and complete, will you go to prison or will I? Does the tax preparer go to prison or you? The true answer is you. That's right. Not the accountant, not the CPA. You will go to prison. Will you, as the tax expert, pay for expert income tax lawyers to defend me against criminal charges for which the IRS may come after me on tax forms that you prepared for me to sign under a penalty of perjury? And the answer is no. You are on your own. He will not pay for your defense of the forms that he prepared for you. How about this? Can the IRS disagree with the tax form that you prepare for me and come after me for more money anyways? And the answer is yes, of course. And in case the IRS comes after me for more money, will you defend at a fixed annual fee the 1048 tax form that you prepared for me? Or will you charge me hourly for services with no limit on how much I may have to pay you to defend me from the IRS tax proposal or audit? Well, he's going to charge you unlimited hourly charges, whatever that may be needed to possibly help you. And in case the IRS proposes more taxes against you or decides to audit you, what guarantee does the accountant offer you that the IRS will not be able to collect more taxes by levying or taking away your pay, bank account, home, or the assets? He gives you zero, no guarantee at all. See? No guarantee at all he gives you. You got zero. You right now buy from a tax preparer a car every year, or TurboTax or whatever software you use. That it's like buying a car from a car dealer. That you drive off the car lot, it breaks down, and it's on you. Fix it. You bought the car as is, and you got that tax confession form. You signed it as is. You take the risk of a problem. Not the car dealer, not your CPA, not your accountant. You take all the risk. And now you ask me, Payman, I heard about your car. You have a car with a 7-year, million-mile guarantee. Wow. You must have such a great car that you can guarantee for a million miles in 7 years. Nothing will go wrong. If it does, you pay? I say, yes, I will pay. I'll reimburse you. 7 years, up to $1 million. And the question they ask of me is, why not more than 7 years? Isn't 7 years far better than your alternative? That's the answer. It's far better than anybody else any offers you. I'm not God. I don't try to be perfect. You got a hell of a deal by coming to Freedom Law School. Okay? What that means is that after 7 years, I'll be there for you still. I'll protect you. I'll do my best. But the guarantee is not there. That's all. And by the way, I'm looking about thinking about extending even longer, 7 years, dollar guarantee, but I just haven't done it because if I do that, I'm not going to go back on it, and I'm going to guarantee to make sure I can do it. I'm just looking at some other things before I may extend it to 10 years or longer. But remember, the alternative you got is this. Okay, these guys, when you sign a form with them, then you can go to prison for up to 9 years for each 1040 you sign with these guys. That you're taking all the risk, not them. So I hope that gives you a better explanation, and feel free to call us at Tatum Law School for more detailed answer again, if you wish. And I think you also would like to know this. As you go to our website, the homepage, okay, and you go to step two, okay, income tax forms, that's signing a 1040 income tax confession trap form, puts the IRS noose around your neck and empowers the IRS to audit you, empty your bank account, and steal your property and put you in prison. So you get away from this. Don't you want to get away from this? That you give the IRS the rope every year to put you in prison? That's what you want to get away from this. You click on the cartoon. For more details, you realize that filing is dangerous. You want to stop filing. Stop putting the rope around your neck. Okay? And I have a video on here that explains to you how to avoid income tax prison 100% of the time. You can do that. Okay? This video covers it all for you on that issue. You don't have to take any risk at all by having Fear of Loss be in the corner with you. We have another question. But it's following the seven steps. What they are doing is illegal and following the seven steps. Why can they still come after me then? What if they are doing is illegal? If they're not legal, you can beat them. We'll beat them for you, number one. If what they're doing is not legal, we'll beat them, folks. I'll beat them myself. Look, I beat them myself so many times, and I'm a much bigger target than any of you guys, okay? So, like for me, they came after me. So step four, take courage from our victories. I'll beat them, right? You go to this page. Look, they come after me, and they do things illegally. I beat them. Here's an example. IRS came after me for 13 years, $663,000 illegally. So I beat them. It started in December 2009. And by November 2011, 2 years later, I had a complete win against them. IRS Appeals Office and cash court ruled in my favor, and the documents are purpling blue, the links that you see here. So you would be, if they still come after you, we'll beat them. That's right. And so you can challenge them properly, like Fear of Law School does. They cannot go take this. Reason they take your stuff. Because CPAs, accountants are incompetent. They do not know how to defend you. That's why they you get hurt. Just like the doctors. Most doctors do not know about health, medical doctors. Yes. They know about drugging you. Cutting your body up, throwing it away, poisoning you, you know, radiation. They don't know about health. If they did, why do most doctors recommend you go to the coronary hoax jab? Huh? And take a risk at killing yourself or getting severely disabled. Why would they tell you that if they're so knowledgeable about health? They're not. Accountants, CPAs, even most experts do not know about tax law procedure at all. Okay? Your master does them right, and I stop them legally. I know the legal procedures. I'll meet them like I've done myself in these cases. I showed you, right? You're signing up for the most knowledgeable group in America. Anyone on how to beat the IRS and be free at the same time. So I hope that answers your question. We have one more follow-up question in writing. Can you beat them forever? Well, I can. It's not guaranteed, though. You know, it's like saying, can you help me become more prosperous? Yeah. You guarantee that? That I'll be a millionaire? No. I'm not going to be a magician. Again, you do that wrong comparison. Don't compare me to perfection. I am not perfect. Okay? Government is, they're not good guys. They're evil. Okay? So no, I'm going to give you perfection. But compared to the alternative, up to you. You can go down, put the rope around your neck, and a chance on IRS, you know, messing with you. Here it is. This voice. That zero guarantee, all the risk of chances. You give the IRS the power to come after you or Freedom Law School. I'm sorry. There is no other third option that I know that's available to you. Okay? So hope that helps you with that question. No other questions, guys? If one caller from Block Talk Radio, all right, what is that person's telephone area code? 08 from the, sorry, the beautiful King of Hawaii, who became now the communist, socialist, Italian state of Hawaii. Sorry about that, my friend, but what is your first name? I heard about us, and then your question, please. Are you there? Caller?
Hello.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead and speak.
Yes, hi. I'm from the communist Hawaii here, which is a fair assessment, after assessment. Yeah, I'll just give you one question because I know it's getting late. Earlier, we had a caller on that mentioned she was asking about LLCs and using that. My question is,
how did you hear about us? And what's your first name? How did you hear about us? And then your question, please.
First name is Tony. I don't know how I heard about you. I heard about you a long time ago. Can't recall where I heard it from. I think it was a gentleman was promoting your courses. Now I think about it. And he was selling your courses or something for the affiliate program. Somebody, I think that's where I first heard about you. Anyway, question is regarding the LLC that you mentioned. You kind of endorsed using the LLCs. I'm a little confused about that. Being an LLC is a government-created fiction, and by using that, their benefit of the not having liability, aren't you taking on a tax liability, slotting yourself in, so to speak?
No. Because if you study the law that from government's own legal websites, which Freedom Law School provides you, okay, in our first step at livefreedom.org, no law requires 99% of Americans to file income tax. The only people that require filing income tax are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and federal workers. Are you one of them?
No.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a corporation.
I guess I'm concerned, are you contracting with them, leaving that, you know, non-liability status behind when you contract with them, or by self-declaring yourself when you apply to use one of their corporations, being they create the corporations, control them.
No. First of all, it's not a contract. There's no contract. That's a baseless legal theory out there, which I bought into back in 1992, that you somehow get tied with these adhesion contracts that glue you to the system. You got to separate. No. There's no adhesion
Correct.
Contract.
Yeah.
Number two, America is not a country. America, it's 50 countries. Every state is a country. Hawaii is its own country. So it's Florida and California. So Florida, California, Hawaii is as foreign to Washington, D.C. as France, Egypt, or Japan. So your corporation, Texas, and Hawaii, and Wyoming, they're foreign to Washington, D.C. anyhow. It's not a Washington. So it doesn't matter. It's fine. Okay.
Okay. Well, I do see the state distinction. That's pretty good.
If you have a Washington D.C. corporation,
aren't these states sub franchises of the federal? Well,
no,
these corporations.
No, Tony, we have been lied to deceive about our foundation of America. America was 13 colonies who in 1776 became 13 countries. Countries, a state, the state of Israel, state of Iraq, terrorist states. You heard these terms? State is a country.
Yes.
Okay. And these countries, they had for 13 years on the Articles of Confederation, independent, and they cooperated. But because they required unanimous consent, okay, cooperation sometimes was difficult. So what they did to handle common needs of the countries or states, they created an agent government. They called it the United States. Okay? And they gave that United States creation government certain limited power for common needs of countries of the Union. Common defense, common money, common immigration rules, and other common needs of the states. 18 specific needs were delegated to the federal government. And the states retained all the other powers as countries they had. And the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution clearly reminds us of that by saying all powers not delegated to the federal government, the United States, are reserved to the states and the people. You see, we're not taught this in the public school. And so we go out there and hear all these baseless legal theories, hatred because you utter nonsense, okay? That states are part of the federal government. No, it's the other way around. The states are above the federal government in every way, a few narrow areas, like common defense and nationality rules and common money, things that was delegated to the federal government. Understood?
Quick question about that. Okay, that's true. I agree with all everything you said, except for in 1933, they incorporated the governments in all the states, creating, changing that dynamic. So how would you address it from that point?
That's utter nonsense, baseless garbage, hatred mythology theory out there. And I was taught those things back in early 1990s as well, no different than you, my friend. So congratulations. It took me over 2 years in a movement to finally hear some people that knew what they were talking about and got me away from all that patriot mythology. Sovereign citizen! No UCC! No UCC! One dice, chose seven. I signed everything, reserve my rights. Bankruptcy of the United States, HDR 192. I do not play in statutory, admiralty, maritime jurisdiction. I'll go back under common law. I'm a sovereign citizen, national, not a U.S. citizen, created by the 14th Amendment of the United States. I do not walk in their jurisdiction, you know, as a 14th Amendment citizen. You know, I don't use their walk into their zone. You know, I my birth certificate, which say U.S. Treasury bought from the county, and they captured my label through my straw man. I got the money on my U.S. Treasury account and the U.S. Treasury, you know, my QSIP number, and on and on and on. Have you heard any more of these garbage, baseless, patriot theories out there, Tony? So have I.
Do you think they're baseless, huh?
I don't think.
You know, there's a big movement right now with this U.S. national and U.S. state citizen thing right now, stating that citizenship is key. And when they made the 14th Amendment, they, you know, basically tried to cancel out the 13th. And there's a distinction. You don't subscribe to any of that, then?
I subscribe to them as much as I subscribe to the Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny theories. There's a lot of websites and movies made about Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. You can believe it as all you want. Sounds good to me. Makes sense. Yeah. I don't think to verify. I don't need to. It's on TV. Didn't you see the movie about the Easter Bunny? It was a bunch of websites about it too. You believe what you see on TV on the internet, right? You don't have to verify it, right? So Tony, that's the problem. After government corruption.
They don't think there's different states, like state of and state, and that they're making these legal, you know, deceptive distinctions through state of being at such a corporation. There are listed on the Dun & Bradstreet each state as a private for-profit corporation for doing business. CEO is the governor. So you don't think any of that is accurate at all.
Stuff to do besides argue about things that might answer clearly. You have two choices. You go take the you can either believe person A or person B or me or the government, or you can do your homework.
Okay? We're discussing. We're not arguing. I'm not arguing with you.
You know, I'm not about telling you. You need to go.
I highly respect. I highly respect your work and everything you've done. I think it's phenomenal.
But I don't think so. I don't think so, because if you did, you would not be telling me about his patriot mythologies. You would not be believing all that utter nonsense. Okay.
Well, you said you believed it for a time, and then something obviously changed your mind that you discovered at some point that you felt that was all not accurate.
You know what I did? I did my homework. I went to the law library and looked them up in the law library. I found these quotes, court cases, were out of context or not there. I found that arguments that said they had no basis in the law whatsoever. It's just somebody's made up cockamamie theory, which sounded good to me when I was ignorant. But I wouldn't have looked up the law for myself, which is why I tell you, look up the law based on what? U.S. government official legal command. You do that, Tony, and you'll be free. Any other questions besides your questions about these baseless patriot mythologies?
What about the two constitutions, 1776 versus 1787 constitution? What's your thoughts on that?
Sorry. I'm not responding more to you about these baseless legal theories and why I said my position on those. Any other questions, my friend, I can help you with?
No, that should do it. That should cover it, then.
All right, my friend. I love you. Thank you for calling. And remember, so all that stuff is utter nonsense. I don't have to list every single one of them. That's all utter nonsense. I mean, that's why all these guys who did all stuff for all decades, they got to jail, out of business. Do you know I'm the only freedom patriot leader who's not going to prison, or put out of business by the IRS, or the court got an injunction against me? I'm the only one ever, going back to World War II. What does that tell you? If that stuff works, how come one of these guys who did this stuff 10, 20, 30 years ago is not around? Saying, hey, I've done this for 20 years, 30 years. Watch me, I did all these years, all these decades. If it worked, you have a bunch of these guys who've been around for decades. But all these guys who've done it for long ago, they're long gone because this stuff doesn't work, and I've seen it with my own eyes. So the proof is in your pudding, my friend. You have a choice. You can believe in this stuff like religion. That's fine. I respect people's religious differences. I've learned not to argue with you about religious. Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Taoist, whatever. Hey, I respect them all, love them all, that's fine. If you want treaties like religion, that's your choice. However, law is very much clear, black and white. Murder is wrong. Killing is wrong. You have a right to live free. Free is free, you know? So, you can check it out. Look at the law around someone's essay or opinion on their website. All right? Very good. If any more callers, guys? Who we have? What area code? No more. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you very much for your questions. I guess we should do a quick short about this video, right? Print stream? Okay. Okay, let's do that. Okay. All right, guys. All right. Thank you for being here, folks. Remember, our goal is not to save taxes for people. It's not my dream, my goal. My goal is to have America be a free country. You be free. All of us be free. We got to work together. Let's restore freedom. Okay? Let's put our money, our labor, work for us, you, your family, and America, not give it to our enemies in the Washington, D.C. swamp. The solution is here with Freedom Law School. Restore Freedom Plan. based on education and action, and spread the word. Thank you for watching. Be back with you next Thursday night. Good evening.